We have come in our Bible studies to the letters that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We just talked about how he had preached the gospel in Thessalonica. From there he goes down to Athens and then to Corinth, and hearing reports about the troubles that church is facing, he wrote them letters of encouragement, and much in those letters have to do with the second coming of Christ. In just a moment, we're going to read the lesson text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is the Warren County Radio Bible School. It's brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we are looking at Sunday school lessons that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 20th, 1925. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, the lesson text, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. For yourselves, brethren, know our entering in among you, that it hath not been found vain, but having suffered before, and having been shamefully treated, as ye know, at Philippi, we wax bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God in much contention. And our exhortation was not of error, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. For neither at any time were we found using words of flattery, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor seeking glory of men, neither from you nor from others. We might have claimed authority as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle in the midst of you, as when a nurse cherisheth her own children, even so, being affectionately desirous of you. Ye were well pleased to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were become very dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, working night and day, that we might not be burdened to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and righteously and unblameably we behaved ourselves toward you that believed, as ye know how we dealt with each one of you, as a father with his own children, exhorting you, and encouraging you, and testifying to the end that you should walk worthy of God, who called you into his own kingdom and glory. The golden text is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks. The devotional reading is found in his second epistle to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 13 through 17. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Silvanus and Timothy joined Paul in this letter. Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just the opening salutation here. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. And then he begins, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Silvanus, that's mentioned here in this book of 1 Thessalonians, is the Silas that we read about in the book of Acts. It is under the church of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 1:1. The address of the second Thessalonian letter is the same. The Corinthians are addressed as the church of God which is at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In Galatians, the churches of Galatia, Galatians 1 and verse 2. The Philippians, as saints in Christ Jesus, with the bishops, that'd be with the overseers, and the deacons, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, grace to you, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says to the Romans, in the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Philippians, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. To the Colossians, he says, as in his first epistle to the Thessalonians, grace to you and peace from God the Father. See how Paul closes his letter? Think how much is in these benedictions. He says, and peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. They're most comprehensive. These all mean, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, John 14:23, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4 and verse 7. Amid all the cares, turmoils, afflictions, trials, and persecutions of life, the peace of God brings to the heart contentment, sincerity, endurance, and eternal salvation. Now, under the heading of Silas and Timothy at Thessalonica, we know that when Paul departed from Berea on account of persecution, as we learned in the last lesson, Silas and Timothy abode there still. Paul went to Athens and sent word back to Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed in Acts 17:14-15. Luke, in the Acts, does not say that they went to Athens, but it seems that Timothy went back from Berea to Thessalonica. Either this is true, or when Timothy joined him at Athens, Paul sent him back to Thessalonica, for he says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left behind at Athens alone. Sent Timothy to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith, that I might know your faith, lest by any means the tempter had tempted you and our labor should be in vain. 1 Thessalonians 3:1-5. And so let's look at by whom and when this epistle was written. After Timothy had made this visit to Thessalonica, he and Silas joined Paul at Corinth. Paul wrote the first epistle to the Thessalonians. J.W. McGarvey says, the first epistle to the Thessalonians was written from Corinth soon after the arrival of Silas and Timothy, as is proved by the concurrence of these two facts, that these two brethren overtook Paul in Corinth, and that in the epistle Paul speaks of Timothy's arrival as having just taken place at the time of writing, 1 Thessalonians 3:6. This epistle was the first one written by Paul, and is almost the first book of the New Testament, although some think Matthew may have written before this. And of course, there's always the questions about when exactly the book of Galatians was written. But certainly, 1 Thessalonians is early in the epistles Paul wrote, and very likely the first one that he wrote. This could be the very opening written words of the New Testament in this epistle. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and we'll turn to the explanatory notes. For yourselves, brethren, know our entering in unto you, that it hath not been found vain, but having suffered before, and having been shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we wax bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God in much conflict. These verses, and verse 9 of chapter 1, give the beginning of Paul's work in Thessalonica, his manner of entering into them, and their reception of him and Silas. Paul and Silas's life of righteousness among them, God's confirmation in power and in the Holy Spirit in much assurance, chapter 5, verse 1, and the results of Paul and Silas's labor, namely, the turning of the Thessalonians unto God from idols to serve a living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This shows what Paul and Silas preached, namely, the gospel of Christ, his life on earth, his death for the sins of the world according to the Scriptures, his blood shed for the remission of sins, his resurrection from the dead according to the Scriptures, his ascension to heaven, and his promise to come again. Also, the faith in Christ all must have, the repentance all must show, the obedience and baptism all must render, and the Christian life all must live in order to be delivered from the wrath to come. These Thessalonians knew that which others had heard about them was true, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place. Their faith had been sounded forth as a bugle blast. The Thessalonians knew also the persecution, shameful treatment, the brutal beating and imprisonment Paul and Silas had received at Philippi, with which we too are familiar, having studied this in an earlier class. But this treatment made Paul and Silas only the bolder in our God to preach the gospel in Thessalonica, and in much conflict still, trusting in God as our God, they were bold and courageous. As Paul says to the Philippians, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Much is said in the New Testament about Paul's conflicts, both within himself and with his persecutors. In Thessalonica, Paul and Silas were persecuted, but, as Paul declares, all that would live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And we learn something of the manner of Paul's preaching from this epistle. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, But our exhortation is not of error, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. It is well to study seriously that which Paul says in these and the following verses, and to act earnestly upon it. In exhorting, Paul and Silas taught, comforted, and encouraged. Paul gave motives which did not prompt him and Silas, not in error, or not to deceive them, or lead them astray, or cause them to wonder. In the greatest sincerity, in deepest in earnestness, Paul always sought to teach the truth. Persecution and even death may follow, but he regarded not such consequences. Nothing could induce him to deceive the people or cause them to err. Hence, he determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and to preach him not in persuasive words of man's wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 4. He warns all preachers against preaching themselves, against science, falsely so called, and against untaught questions and speculations. We'll continue this in our next class.